Pop Spotting 79.
Tuesday, June 28th, 2011.
Testing, Captain, can you hear me?
I'm standing right here.
You're coming through good and loud.
Because I'm standing right here.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday, and today I thought we'd talk about Firefly.
Yeah, now of course it seems everybody's watching Firefly, but it's still worthy of a discussion. In fact, just this past weekend was the biggest annual celebration of Firefly. It's called Can't Stop the Serenity. They had it in Los Angeles. Every year they screen the movie that was based on the TV series, and it's been a really long-standing fixture in pop culture, despite the fact that it was very short-lived. So Firefly only aired for 3 months in 2002. It was by Joss Whedon, a geek writer who supposedly can do no wrong. And for the few uninitiated, what's Firefly all about?
Firefly is about space cowboys. The year is 2517, and we're following the renegade crew of the Serenity, which is a Firefly-class spaceship. It takes place in the aftermath of a civil war, and this crew of people are on the losing side, and they're kind of in the fringes of society. They're kind of like, they're the crowd in the cantina in Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. It's the darker, seamier back alley side of space. You know, in science fiction, you have a lot of gleaming spaceships and brightly lit bridges with leather seats, and they're ferrying an ambassador to meet the president of the Federated Planetary Colony, and everybody's important and everybody is significant. And I love that this series was about the regular people, and in fact the less than regular people. They're smugglers, they're criminals, they're anti-heroes in the best sense of the word. And in fact the leader of this motley crew, Captain Malcolm Reynolds, is in my opinion the natural successor, the logical next step after Han Solo. You know, he's handsome, he's dashing, he's charming, he's very smart, but he's also a rascal, he's also a troublemaker, he's also a hothead.
He's sarcastic and he does stupid things and he creates bad situations. He's played by Nathan Fillion, mm-hmm. who is, in my mind, he's kind of the king of the geeks.
Right. Well, and this is pretty much his defining role. In fact, he's in another TV series called Castle,
right,
where he's just a writer trailing a cop around, but they seem to take an opportunity every season to pay tribute to the character that he played on Firefly. So
right.
I really like it. I mean, it's a defining role for him. But in terms of the scenario, what I like is it's the near future. It's the foreseeable future. It's the logical future where people are speaking a combination of English and Chinese,
mm-hmm.
because they're presumably the surviving cultures from Earth. But it's not a really, really futuristic show. These ships seem to burn on fuel. They make smoke. There's a lot of dirt. There's a lot of grease. You know, there's no warp speed. There's no phasers. In fact, there's basically guns. You know, it's again, like you said, it's a space western. It is everything that you would expect in that, right down to a scene where you've got horses and spaceships at the same time.
The best part of the show is that you are in a fully realized world. You can look at the sets and you can make up in your own mind everything that goes on beyond that. And what I like about the spaceship set in particular is that it's dirty and it's lived in, and there are scenes that take place in the canteen of the spaceship, and we see everybody sitting around and talking, and we can imagine that they've been doing that for years, and everything is so familiar and so comfortable, and this group of characters is so three-dimensional, and the things they do and say are familiar, like, you know, people that we know. And I think Joss Whedon has a real talent for that, for turning characters into things that you are familiar with.
Yeah, well, the dialogue, the writing is definitely a key part of the show. It is so fast and so smart and funny and witty and just well put together all in all. But I like how you talked about the ship and how it feels lived in. I mean, obviously, to me, Battlestar Galactica, the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, has to take a lot of inspiration from here, where the spaceships are not gleaming. They are dirty. They are failing. It is sort of the rust bucket of the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars,
yeah.
And it's just taken to the next level. You have the shaky, documentary-style, very real-feeling camera work. You have the complete silent space sequences, rather than a spaceship going whoosh as it goes by, and there's
right.
dust everywhere. And in this very real, very tangible, very believable space, you have very real, believable characters. They could just be a quirk or a personality trait pushed to the extreme, each one, but instead they all feel like very real people.
Malcolm Reynolds' first mate is named Zoe Washburn. Mm-hmm. She's played by Gina Torres. And
tough lady.
Yeah, she's tough, and she doesn't take any of Malcolm's crap. And I really enjoy her because she's married to the pilot, Wash, and they have a very loving relationship and actually a very believable relationship, because Wash has a few insecurities. He's not really thrilled about the relationship between Zoe and Mal.
Right. I mean, Mal and Zoe have been together. In fact, they're the veterans of the Civil War.
Right.
So they go back, way back. They have the typical Kirk-Spock first officer-captain relationship. It is very close. It is people who know each other that well, and it would be natural for Wash to be jealous of that. But that's not a defining characteristic of him. He is funny. He's witty. He's wry. He's definitely a great character, but to me, the secondary star of the show behind Nathan Fillion, who is, Nathan Fillion, has got to be Adam Baldwin, who plays Jane, the
right.
sort of hired muscle, the mercenary on the crew.
He's actually on Chuck, but to me, this is his signature role. He's the comic relief. He's the dumb character. He's a lot of things rolled into one, and he steals pretty much every scene that he's in.
Right. He gets a lot of the funniest lines, and in part they do play on the fact that he's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but we also get a sense, because all of these people are so smart and clever, that there's more than meets the eye with him. In fact,
he definitely has a heart, and you can see that in very fleeting moments. There's a scene at the end of one episode where he's genuinely confused and a little bit unhappy, and it's very believable.
Right, and the other characteristic of his is that he's a mercenary. He works for money. That's his primary motivating factor. So even when he does something that seems selfless or caring for another person, he can find a way to rationalize it as something that was profitable or at least in some way beneficial to him. You know, he's always watching out for number one. He'll tell you that the reason why he's with Captain Mal on Serenity is not because he loves the ship or he loves the people or because Captain Mal is a great leader, but because he paid the best. It was the best opportunity available, and he would jump ship at any time if someone gave him a better offer. I don't think anyone believes that, but that's what he tells himself.
If Malcolm Reynolds is the good part of Han Solo, Jane is the bad part of Han Solo. Jane is the Han Solo in the cantina.
He's as you say, a walking id. You know, he's
exactly.
All impulse and aggression and think, act now, think later, and we love him. Now, the ship also has a few other passengers on board. You've got a companion, a courtesan, not a prostitute, but clearly something in that vein.
I've often heard that Joss Whedon is a feminist, and to me, the perfect example of that is Inara Sarah, played by Marina Baccarin. She's, well, her job choice is kind of strange. She's described as a companion, but in reality, she's a prostitute. But in this universe, her job is glamorous. Her job is looked up to. And I really think that Joss Whedon's feminism comes out in Inara.
It's definitely an interesting character play. In fact, the other series that Joss Whedon most recently did was called Dollhouse. I'm sure we can talk about that at some point. But again, that was a series where women were playing roles or being put into other positions, supposedly in service of other people. So here you have a character just like that. So at the surface, it sounds like a very exploitive role. But Marina Baccarin, I mean, she was in V. She wasn't compelling to me too much in V, but here she's fantastic because she's allowed to be sexy and alluring, but just like Zoe, she is tough.
She is. She often squares off with Malcolm about her choice of profession, but of course she's a little attracted to Malcolm and he's a little attracted to her.
Right.
But the good thing about their relationship is that it's not played off as cute. It's not written to be romantic or sweet. It's just very matter of fact.
Right. And she has her limits. She sets her boundaries. She's someone who helps greases the wheels in some of the places that they go, again, because she is sought after, because she is so highly prized. And in fact, it's not so much that people hire her, but they vie to be chosen as her next client. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. again, I just like how they turned that character on its head, and Marina Baccarin is fantastic.
And It should be illegal to be that hot.
she's easy on the eyes, I will admit. And she does it very well here versus being a evil, cold-blooded alien. Also on the ship, speaking of easy on the eyes, you have the ship's mechanic, I guess, the engineer.
Yeah.
She's the Scotty of the ship, of the Serenity. It's Kaylee Fry, played by Jewel State. And sure, she's cute. She's sweet. I mean, those are the two first words that might come to mind for her character. But like all of these other characters, there's a lot more to her. There's more depth to it.
She loves her job and she loves the ship like she loves a child. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just great that this role that would maybe traditionally be played by a man is played by a woman, and very well, and in a very fully fleshed out way, because we really do see a lot of different sides of Kaylee's personality.
Yeah, in fact, she's not a tomboy either. She's still all woman for sure. She has longings at times, but I like how you said she likes the ship as much as she would love a child. She likes the ship more than she would like a boyfriend or a guy. I mean, she is a woman, and there is the longing, some really great lines for her, but I would imagine if push comes to shove, she would run back to that engine room to deal with the problem there than she would run to a guy. So a really fun, a great character.
And really cute too, right?
Well, yes. I had a crush on her character, but I don't think I was alone. And also aboard the Serenity are a couple of stowaways, a brother and sister.
Simon Tam, played by Sean Maher, unwittingly becomes the ship's doctor. And that just happens because he happens to need a ride when there's no doctor. And he has to bring along his sister, River, played by Summer Glau. River has some issues.
Yes.
River is haunted and a little crazy and a little scary, but we find out later on in the series that there's actually a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon spends a lot of time trying to keep his sister under control.
Right. I mean, Dr. Simon is a relatively interesting character. He's unliked by both Captain Mal and Jane, so the way they pick on him, basically, he's kind of a wimp, is entertaining, but really it's River Tam, it's Summer Glau that kind of adds the sinister level to the show throughout. I mean, she is weird and crazy and an Ophelia from Hamlet sort of way,
yeah,
but she effectively does it so it's not cartoony. You know, she doesn't just look moody, but you honestly believe there's a couple of screws loose in there, that there's something going on, and it's surprisingly a compelling performance from her. And finally, on this motley crew, you have a kind of a pastor, a priest on the ship.
Shepherd Book, played by Ron Glass, and I kind of think of him as the John Locke of Firefly, because he's very philosophical and very spiritual, and often the voice of reason in situations where there's not a whole lot of reason to be found. And he talks a lot of sense into the character.
Well, he's sort of the anti-Jane, you know.
Yeah.
He wants everybody to do the right thing. On the other hand, he does know the reality of the situation. He is signed on and aboard a ship of criminals, of miscreants, of ne'er-do-wells, and there's going to be some compromises that have to be made, and that's actually some of the more entertaining scenarios or scenes that he's in as well. Serenity, unfortunately, only lasted, they only made 14 episodes, only 11 of them aired, and while there was a sort of building arc, as you mentioned, with Summer Glau, River Tam's character, really it was kind of the adventure of the week. I can really see how the show could have been something much bigger, something much grander. In fact, the potential that this show had is at least as famous as, unfortunately, how poorly it was treated by the network and how prematurely it died.
What Fox did to the show is a war crime. It's such a shame.
Wow.
This show was so far ahead of its time because, I mean, now sci-fi people would eat it up with a spoon. But
right.
What was on TV in 2002? CSI and a bunch of reality shows?
Right.
There was no fantasy or sci-fi really to speak of.
Or sci-fi Western. I mean, again, this show definitely was not something that was easily defined, but it was so clearly original, so clearly clever, smart. It's terrible. I mean, they moved the episodes and moved them around so they were out of order from how they were written. They didn't like the pilot. They thought it was too dark. They said Captain Reynolds needs to be more jolly and fun. They had a different pilot, and so there were two starts to the series, and of course it was preempted for sports all the time. They made 14 episodes. They only aired 11, and it was, again, it's the poster child of television that just did not get what a gem they had, what this show really, really was. So it's sad, but fortunately, in many ways, at least you can now enjoy all of Serenity in just a few sittings, and just a few DVDs. Out of those 14 episodes that were made, can you quickly name your favorite?
Probably Janestown, the episode in which Jane returns to a place where he crossed some kind of bigwig and he's turned into a folk hero. And the ending of that episode is very bittersweet, and really, it really shows off everything that I like about Jane as a character. And then the last episode, titled Objects in Space, where the bounty hunter comes on board and he terrorizes the crew.
That was the guy from Law and Order.
Yeah, Robinette from Law and Order. That was just a completely out of left field episode for me. I was not expecting that kind of level of darkness and tension.
And still funny, though. I mean, the show throughout always surprises you with what you get. I love Janestown. That's a great one. I'd have to go with Out of Gas. That's perhaps a cliche pick, but that's the origin story. That's the Ocean's 11 bringing the team together flashback story. And it's right. Hilarious how all of these characters ended up together on the ship. I loved that episode. And I also loved Our Mrs. Reynolds, where Captain Reynolds ends up married.
Yeah, with Christina Hendricks.
Right, and actually she was fantastic in that episode.
Oh, yeah, she was.
Because she was so alluring and so innocent, and she played it to the hilt right to the point where it turns, and she's even good then. I mean, so a surprising episode, but a hilarious episode. So much to love about Firefly. If you have not watched Firefly, you have got to watch Firefly. Now, before we go, of course, there was also a movie. There were so many attempts to save this show, to bring it back. It's always being picked on lists as a show that if you could bring any TV show back, Firefly is always in the top one or two of that list. In fact, there was a very badly done, kind of unfortunate attempt to get Nathan Fillion the money to buy the rights to bring the show back. I'm personally of the feeling that it was the perfect tragedy of its time, that it wouldn't really be the same if it came back today. But perhaps responding to that fan reaction, there was a movie that came out kind of picking up the story and sharing a little bit more of what happened to the Serenity. And would you recommend that film?
I would recommend it, but the thing about Serenity is that we watched it before the series.
Don't do that.
Watch because, it in order.
Right. It does follow the sequence of events in the series, and in fact does do a couple of daring things with some of these characters.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely explains River Tam's issue, and you don't want to see that before you see the series. But I agree with you. I think it's worth seeing, especially after you watch the series. You will be so mad. You will do anything for a little more of this cast of characters. So the movie gives you that. And as I mentioned, it is the screening of this movie every year that is used as a fundraiser of these geeks, of these fans, to do good things for charity. Now, Equality Now, but other charities as well. So if you're a fan of Firefly, if you want to do something in the name of Joss Whedon and this unfortunately prematurely lost to us show, you might want to look into Can't Stop the Serenity in your town. As for the series, you can certainly pick it up on DVD. That's what we did. You can also get it on Netflix streaming. You can buy all the episodes on iTunes, and they keep it in rotation so far on Hulu, but only 5 episodes at a time, with one cycling in and off. But if you're patient, you can get to it that way as well. However you get to it, we recommend you watch or rewatch Firefly.
Now, before we go, a little interesting bit of casting news from another show, Hawaii Five-0. It was announced last week that Terry O'Quinn from Lost, yes, Locke, would be joining the cast.
I love it. It is so perfect. It's Daniel Day Kim and Terry O'Quinn, two Losties now, together on the island fighting crime rather than smoke monsters.
Don't tell him what he can't do.
That line has got to be slipped in. It's great. I mean, you know, some people were watching Hawaii Five-0 because they like to see Hawaii, because they like Daniel Day Kim. Of course, Grace Park has a strong geek following. What else could be a more perfect reunion, a more perfect addition to the cast for Hawaii Five-0, which we are watching sometimes despite ourselves? So I can't wait to see that. Well, this has been Pop Spotting's tribute to Firefly, as well as a little bit of Hawaii Five-0 talk. But we want to hear you talk as well,
because feedback is what keeps us going, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this or anything else we talk about here on Pop Spotting.
You can leave a comment on the blog at popspotting.net, drop us a line via email at feedback@popspotting.net, or leave a voicemail at 815 815- 310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
We'll be back tomorrow with Wild Card Wednesday, and you better stay tuned because this one will be delicious.
Thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song, and mahalo to all of you for listening.
For Popspotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen. Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.